Tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you.
Yes, it is Green Bay game night. I'm Homer along with Gary Ellison. We have Jason Wilde. Packers win 30-13. Gary will take over as I listen. But before then, Jason, the Packers had 7 sacks. Shouldn't everybody be happy? The Green Bay Packers are now 7th ranked in the NFL in sacks for the season. So everybody should apologize to all the people on the defense in the front 7 because they're 7th best for the season. How accurate is any of that?
I mean, it's got to be at least a little bit accurate, but I would be curious to compare their sack numbers with those other teams that are in, say, the top 15 and see how much of it came so concentrated, right? What do they have, 8 sacks against Tennessee and then 7 sacks tonight? So 15 of them in 2 games.
Denver, Houston, Baltimore, Cowboys, Giants, Vikings, and then the Packers are tied for 7th with the Chargers.
Yeah. I mean, look, the numbers are what the numbers are, and they certainly deserve credit for getting after
Geno Smith.
You
don't seem as excited.
Yeah, he doesn't sound excited at all about it.
Yeah, I'm not. I'll have to do some more digging into the numbers before I get too giddy about what they've done. But, look, it's certainly better than what they had been doing for most of the year. Okay, we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, you know, again, 15 of how many sacks they have on the season now?
40.
They have 40 sacks, and 15 of them came in 2 games. So that means that in
25
the
other
12 games, they've got 25.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is 2 sacks a game good or not good?
I don't know. Did you expect it? Is Seattle?
Great, Homer.
No, I didn't know if you expected it. I mean, it certainly helped that Smith wasn't there, but they had some against him. Did you think that they could get some sacks? Because that's been a problem with Seattle. I didn't.
Yeah, Geno Smith came into the game having been sacked 40 times.
Okay.
And their offensive line, you know, at least based on what Collinsworth was saying during the broadcast, had kind of solidified itself in the last few weeks during their winning streak. But then the guy that they were crediting with doing such a good job of helping solidify their offensive line, the center, went out in like the first quarter with a knee injury, right? So that's, and then they had to play a guy who was an undrafted rookie free agent, which is probably not ideal. So again, look, this kind of gets to a bigger point, which is, you know, if we want to keep playing the same game of, you know, who have they really beaten? You could probably do it if you wanted to be that guy about this game, right? They lose Geno Smith. Sam Howell was terrible. He was completely overmatched. But at some point, you just have to say, hey, you know what? They're beating all these teams that they're facing, and we should probably start giving them credit for doing so, right? And so, yeah, are there nits to be picked if you choose to pick them with this win? Of course there are. But at some point, we just have to say, look, the schedule had them facing the NFC West and the AFC South, and they swept those games, right? They're 8-0 combined against those two divisions. And, oh, by the way, the Vikings have played essentially the same schedule, and at this point they have 1 more win and 2 fewer losses going into their Monday night game against the Bears. So at some point, we probably just need to say, hey, you beat the teams that are on your schedule, and then you get to the playoffs, and you hope that you have the formula to win some games and get to where you want to go. And we'll see if they're able to do that. But this is a quality win. I mean, they came out and they dominated from the start. They get the first drive with Josh Jacobs being featured. They get Edger and Cooper getting the sack on 3rd down to force the punt. They go in and score again, and before Seattle knows what's hit them, it's 14-0. I don't care if they didn't put their, you know, foot on the Seahawks' throat or if their offense hit a skid there where they went 3 and out a bunch. This, in my book anyway, is a meaningful win that tells us that they may not be a Super Bowl winning team. They may be, but I don't think so. But they certainly are one of the better teams in the NFL, and they deserve credit for being good enough to have that said about them.
Home team, give Jason Wilde our poll question today, if you will, please, see if he has an answer to that. But I must say, I don't want to sway Jason's answer one way or the other, but the first 10 plays.
9 of the 10 were by Jacobs.
9 of the 10 plays were all.
Correct.
Jacobs, which was no coincidence, just so you know. So give Jason our.
Pebble, how did we put it up on the Discount Liquor Twitter
poll? We put it up, who is the most important player in the Packers offense? Homer says it's Jordan Love. Gary says it's Josh Jacobs. Who do you agree with? Right now, 63% of the vote say Jordan Love and Homer. Josh Jacobs and Gary, 37% of the vote.
But now.
Yeah, Gary's right. And the 37% of people that voted with him is right.
You wish to explain why or just leave it at that?
No, I just like saying that you're wrong. One.
You can tell right away.
That's fine.
You can tell right away. That's why I was laughing. He just.
Well, so look, first of all, this, you know, I hate the fact that we do this, right? We just love, it's always got to be one thing, right? It's
always, yeah, always.
One thing or the other.
Always.
It's got to be the defense or it's got to be the offense. Yes. Or it's got to be Love or it's got to be Jacobs. And, of course, it's both. But and look, there's going to be games, and Jordan Love even said it. And look what happened in the second half, right? I mean, Seattle finally figured out that, hey, we gotta take some chances here. We got to sell out to stop Josh Jacobs.
Exactly.
He can't keep just running over us. Right. And that's when Jordan Love has to deliver for them. Again, it's not – I know you guys love to make it an either-or, and Tausch does too. And I do.
Well, you don't like to do that.
Types of polls. I don't, because obviously they're both extremely important to this team's success.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think either one is the wrong answer. But if you look at what Josh Jacobs is doing, and this is why I'm siding with Gary, other than just to give Homer a hard time, is that he establishes everything for them.
He sets the table. Yeah.
Right. And then after setting the table, setting the tone, then that allows them to do some other things. Now, that doesn't mean that Jordan Love isn't A, good, or B, extremely important. But I would say this, you know, and this is not to downplay anything he accomplished last year or to downplay anything he's accomplished this year. Now, he's gone 4 straight games without an interception. He's gone 4 straight games with a 100 passer rating or better in all of them. And he deserves a hell of a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
It's not like that's not just because of Josh Jacobs that he's doing that. But if we look back at last year when they had the success that they did, that also coincided with Aaron Jones getting cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it coincided with their offensive line playing a lot better football.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as Gary knows from having played this game and me having watched it, it is the ultimate team sport. And when you have those two things, your quarterback and your running back clicking, and then your defense starts playing well, which clearly the Packers defense did today, that's when you really are a dangerous team. And right now that's exactly what they've become. And I don't know if they go into a game in the playoffs where Jordan Love has to do it all on his own and Josh Jacobs is stymied and he has one of those. Remember how Aaron Jones, as great as he was, seemed to have these games where he would have had a great game, mm-hmm. like he had a 100-yard game, and then the next week he's like 14 carries for 35 yards or something like that?
Right.
Like, if there ends up being one of those for Josh Jacobs, can Jordan Love win a playoff game throwing for 360 yards and 4 touchdowns? Yeah. I think he's capable of that. Do I think the Packers have any interest in having to win that way? No, I don't think so. I think Matt LaFleur loves the idea of Josh Jacobs shouldering much of the burden, not all of it, but much of it, and then him trying to figure out, and you heard him after the game, trying to figure out how the hell he's going to get the ball to all these different guys that are productive in his offense, right? I mean, you know, Collinsworth mentioned it too from their production meeting, that LaFleur actually sounded kind of burdened by the idea of trying to get all these different guys the ball. I love when coaches say good problem to have, because the second word they say is the word problem, which is a problem. So, look, I think they're both extremely important. I know we have to have, you know, strong opinions and hot takes, and I suck at that. But the bottom line is that right now, the way Josh Jacobs is playing, the way he's setting the tone, he gets my vote by a nose.
Yeah. The drive of the game presented by Boucher Automotive. I can handle
good
that.
One, Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody.
Dynamite drop in.
Well, no, I think that teams have adjusted to the point where now they're trying to run the ball a little bit more because so much defensively is about stopping the pass and all the defensive backs.
Right, and now and we'll see. Like, obviously, you know, I don't think the Saints.
Packers are two touchdown favorites, by the way.
Yeah, I know they put up something of a fight against Washington today, but I want to see what Brian Flores does in a couple weeks. Right, they play on the 29th in Minnesota.
Well, who plays tomorrow
night? Brian Flores does.
Vikings and the Bears. Oh, I don't think Flores will show much, but I can. Yeah. Would you?
No, I don't know about against the Bears, but I will definitely say I'm eager to see what he does against the Packers in 2 weeks. Absolutely.
All right. Again, the drive of the game presented by Boucher Automotive. I'm curious if you pick the first or the last for a touchdown, and there may be others if you wish.
No, I'm picking the first.
Yeah.
The way the tone was set there. I mean, you know, how often do you see a guy? I mean, let's remember, not only did he touch the ball 9 of the 10 times, but to start the game, he touched the ball 8 consecutive times.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took him out of the game to catch a breath, and Jordan Love scrambled for 4 yards. And then they put him back in to go get the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he carried that opening drive. I'm not sure, and even LaFleur kind of mentioned it, I'm not sure I've ever seen a team come out and go back-to-back screens to start the game, or at least passes to the running back to start the game. So that was an interesting twist as well. But then 6 straight carries, that's, I mean, not even in the Amon Green era with Favre did they, I don't think, I'll have to go back and see if there's an archive of this, but I don't remember them ever giving him the ball 8 straight times to start a game.
Yeah, that was just, I agree. There's no way.
That was just different. So I would pick that as the drive of the game presented by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile, especially Mike Hansen and Scott Foote at the Greenfield Nissan dealership on Highway 100.
And so in honor of the 9 of the 10 plays for Jacobs, have you purchased 9 cars from them yet, or are you – not up to the Jacobs?
Well, we're leasing 2 right now after my 220,000-mile Homer-style
just
SUV
getting warmed up, baby.
Did it. Yeah.
You haven't lived until you drive a car at over 300,000 miles.
Yeah, I didn't make it.
You haven't
that
done that? Gary Ellison, have you ever had a car over
300,000? No, I've never had a car over 300,000.
Yeah.
Is that where you had 300?
I bought a car. Yeah. For $500 many years ago, simply because the guy said it's at $308,000. I'm buying it.
Mm.
And it.
How many more miles did you get?
It lasted about a year. It was a nice. It was a nice car.
Was it safe?
What?
Was it safe?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. There was no. Yeah. Yes.
What were you driving when that guy almost killed you? What
oh
were
you
wow.
Driving then? Whoa, Jason.
Definitely a Toyota.
Jason,
Toyota. Camry.
You almost got killed?
Yes. Actually, I almost got
really
killed at coming back last night. If I had not looked to my side and seen this car going.
Right.
And
he was coming through, huh?
Coming through a red light.
Yeah.
Surrounded by dangerous drivers.
No, this was just, I just feel lucky. I couldn't. I mean, I part of that is because
we've got to drive home yet tonight. Let's just
People drive crazy. I watch other people driving more than I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
Right,
You got to listen to Bobby Portis, who tells you to control your drive.
Yeah,
I've heard that commercial.
You have to watch people behind you, and you have to watch people even when there's a red light.
Before we let Jason go, I got one last question for you, Jason. Which team do you...
Kind of enjoying the traffic discussion, but that's fine, Gary.
Which team do you... just before we got to go, we got to let you go. Which team do you fear the most? Would it be A, the L.A. Rams at L.A. playing out there if we got to go play a playoff game? B, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or C, the...
Seattle
Seahawks?
And we think it's easy.
Well, you
think it's easy?
No, I agree with Gary. I agree with 100%. It's not even close. It's the Rams. They're the scariest by far.
I asked him. I asked Jason.
Oh, but I just wanted to tell him background as to what
okay,
we... Okay,
fine. Go ahead, Jason. I didn't want to poison the water, but go ahead.
Oh.
The good news is I was going to say the Rams anyway.
Okay.
So I'm glad we're all on the same page. All right. Yeah, look, the Packers, what's the old saying, Gary? It's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Yeah.
In the NFL, and the Packers played the Rams at the perfect time. They got to play them when they were missing both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and they're no longer missing them.
Yeah.
And you can see the results. So that would be... Now, again, I don't know if I'm scared of any of the teams you just gave me as an option, though,
right,
because as we know, the Packers... I mean, I can't... I'm still...
Well, they got to go on the road to play somebody, so...
They do, but I'm still... the thing that stunned me the most about this game...
What?
Was not that they won. I thought they were going to win.
What?
What stunned me is that there were so many Packers fans in Seattle.
Yes.
Like, I know Packers fans travel well.
We had somebody call who said it was 50-50 who was at the game.
Yeah.
Paid $190 to get cheap seats.
Pretty good, $190. Actually.
I can't believe it's 50-50. He said that, but in Seattle,
50-50? He called in to our program.
Yeah, he called in. He's still
I did not
Seattle.
Call him a liar. Yeah. I think it could have been 65-35.
No.
Do you believe it was 50-50 in Seattle, Jason Williams?
I don't know. I wasn't
in
Seattle.
No, how can he answer that?
Just you know Seattle.
No, I don't. Clearly, I don't. I mean, I've been to Seattle plenty of times.
Well,
the fans.
The support of their fans. It'd be like if somebody said it was 50-50 at a Packer game. I go, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I understand that,
that's
but
funny.
There's been some times where I think it was awfully close.
Yeah.
Okay. Recently or back when they sucked?
Yeah, that Vikings game a couple years ago.
Oh, with Favre?
No, not that many years
not
ago.
Not many. Just a couple
years ago. All right, okay.
22 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, that was really surprising. I mean, the fact that the Go Pack Go chant was that loud.
It was.
That took me by surprise. I was not expecting that. I was expecting a more hostile environment. And while it was hostile, it wasn't as hostile as it can be.
All right, the injury report presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin, which also led to my discount legal Twitter poll question, are the Packers better on defense without Quay Walker if all the other kids are available?
That seems strong.
You could say no.
All this either and or stuff, Jason. I mean, it's always either and or. I can't never just...
Does the offense play better today without him?
These guys are killing me.
Oh, then the answer's no. That's fine. It's not crazy to ask about it, given how...
I don't think they played better without him.
Okay.
And he played for a while before he got hurt.
Yeah.
But look, Edgerrin Cooper is a field tilter. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep this up. I don't know how good he'll ultimately be. I thought it was a little bit premature for Chris Collinsworth to be saying that he's going to be a star in this
superstar
league. Superstar. Hard to be a star. But he certainly has been, I mean, he has been a playmaker.
Yeah.
And you know, they were willing to put up with his mistakes before his hamstring injury because he has a knack for playmaking, which, quite frankly, if we're being honest about Quay Walker, he has not shown.
So should Cooper be playing more? Is he going to play more? Is anything they do
in
the...
keep him on the... I don't know how you don't play him more, right? I mean, you have to.
After that.
But look, I don't think that Quay Walker is a it's unfortunate that he suffered this injury when he did, because it seemed like he was starting to finally get some momentum going of playing okay to well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, look, I mean, I keep thinking back to that Jacksonville game where Cooper forces the fumble by the quarterback, and then also runs the length of the field covering a fast wide receiver in Christian Kirk. Then you add to him tonight the sack. I don't love how he I understand it's hard to play. It's hard to pressure quarterbacks in today's game because you can't hit them high. You're not supposed to hit them low either. But he knocks their quarterback out of the game, and then he has the interception to kind of ice it. So, you know, Tausch had him as his Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
Yeah, he informed
I had Romeo Doubs.
So you both wins. Won.
No, he wins. I come in second. I think Jesse finishes third. He had Dontavian Wicks. But, yeah, he's a really good young player, and I'm eager to see if he can be this frequent of a playmaker because you look at their linebacking history, and we go back to A.J. Hawk saying he didn't make enough plays as a fifth overall pick. Obviously, Blake Martinez never made enough plays. He just accumulated a lot of tackles. If this guy can be as consistent of a playmaker as he has been, look out, because he's going to be a pretty darn good football player then.
Could be a huge difference in the playoffs. The post-game injury report presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Visit orthowisconsin.com today for info. What do you have, Jason?
Yeah, I think it's just Quay Walker, who did not return with the left ankle injury. Obviously, they were without Javon Bullard, who didn't play. They were without Jair Alexander, who didn't play. I thought it was interesting the way they handled the secondary. I thought maybe they would try something unconventional because I know we talked to Xavier McKinney at midweek about the idea of getting him more involved and not being, you know, 20 yards off the line of scrimmage where they could avoid him. But they did exactly what you would have expected. They, on base downs, they played Carrington Valentine outside on one side, and they played Keyshawn Nixon outside in the other. And then when they went to nickel, Keyshawn moved inside like he used to do. And then they brought in Eric Stokes, who did not. Eric Stokes didn't make a bunch of mistakes tonight. Now, you can say it's because Sam Howell's not very good. You can say it's
because that's what I'd say.
They got pressure on Geno Smith. It's probably all those things. But the Seahawks clearly went into the game. You could see from the way they started of saying, okay, these guys are missing two of their top five guys in their nickel. We're going to go three wides, and we're going to test them. And they weren't good enough to do anything about it. The Packers were able to win that battle. So, you know, again, I don't know if they'll be able to do that if they still don't have Jair when they're going up against Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and Jordan Addison and that whole crew up in Minneapolis on the road. But for this night, they had more than enough in their secondary to get it done.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good
Jason
night.
Wilde, all Packers all the time. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you all go hit the button that tells you all the times Jason Wilde is on talking about the Packers. Yes, your partner. I know you were going to get there.
I want to talk about my good friends over at Jury Center. Is it okay?
Yes, as long as you'd wish.
As long as I wish?
As long as you wish.
Well, guys, you know, you're looking for that gift for that special someone. It's going to be at the Jury Center. Especially from the Jewelry Center. Gold necklace, naturally mined, or lab-grown diamonds for earrings and, of course, engagement rings. And I always make sure I visit my friends at the Jewelry Center and take advantage of their deals. And right now, folks, listen up. Right now, they've got a deal even Santa can't beat. You can win $2,000 shopping spree to the Jewelry Center just by registering online. That's right. $2,000 can be yours. Register now through December 23rd at ESPNWisconsinContest.com for that $2,000 shopping spree to the Jury Center.
You got more time.
Yeah, we got 4 minutes.
Oh, we need to take a break. And then we'll have your close to your final
comments. My final.
Next.
Got 4 minutes.